So the story of Zedekiah, I'm going to introduce the theme of Zedekiah that here in a moment. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to read to you a kind of a summary of the narrative. It spreads out in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. There's a lot of passages of scripture that tell the story of Zedekiah. Those of you that would have grown up in the youth group here, like Olivia, I would have shared this story every few years. It's kind of the profile of a rebel, and so it's a good way to look at it. Talking about rebellion is a good thing to talk to teenagers about periodically. And some of you may know this story, and I'll try to study it again and share it with you tonight. But for the little ones in here, we have 13 Bible stories. This is our third one. And I think I know what all 13 are. But if you're under this tall, if you're shorter than this, if you have a Bible story that you'd like to hear on a Sunday night, I would like to hear about it, okay? And we'll see if we might can add it or if it's already on the list. Not you, Matt. You're taller than this, okay? You got to be shorter than this to make a suggestion of a Bible story. So when we talk about rebellion, there's a difference. Sometimes we make mistakes in life. Selah has this famous line, we're eating dinner together, and she had a bottle of ketchup, and all the ketchup went out on the plate. Yes, I owe you money for this, Selah. That's how that works, all right? And all the ketchup goes on the plate, and she just looks at it, and she said, I made a mistake, all right? And we all laughed, and now we all say that sometimes, like, I'm not trying to hurt you, I didn't try to do anything to ruin dinner, I just made a mistake. And we do that. I make a mistake sometimes when I do cook dinner because I keep adding spices until it's not worth eating, all right? The longer, more time I have, I just keep adding to it. And we do things like that. But sometimes we know right from wrong and we choose wrong. And that's rebellion. We know right from wrong and we choose wrong. And because all authority comes in one direction from God, all rebellion can only go in one direction. All authority comes in one direction from God, so all rebellion goes in another direction, which is towards Him. I'm going to tell you about a king. God told him to do something, and he said no, and you're going to be like, well, that's obviously rebellion against God, but rebellion can only be against God because authority comes in one direction. It was God's command that was given to them. And hearing about Zedekiah many years ago, probably almost 20 years ago, I heard a man telling a story that was so fitting. I just think it's funny. It's about a car chase, and we don't see those much anymore because we don't watch the news all together at the same time at 6 o'clock or whatever. But remember when O.J. Simpson, there was a car chase, and I was in school, and we stopped what we were doing, and we watched that, okay? And it was a car chase for the little kids in here. It was when a person's running away from the police, and then everybody in America watches it online, all right? And he's running away, and they're going away from the police, and I think maybe police don't chase people anymore, or we don't see it on television. It's been a long time since I've seen a car chase. And so the person's running from the police, and they're going, and they just think they're cool. They're probably playing some kind of soundtrack in the car about being made to be wild or whatever, born to be free. Something's going on. And they just really think, I'm going to get away. Nobody ever gets away, okay? They're not going to get away on this. And then they're going down. There's a helicopter above them watching what they're doing. I'm at home in my pajamas eating cereal. I know where the guy's at. I could find him. But somehow he thinks it's going to be different. And there's this one scene where a guy, he goes and you wreck into something. That's usually how it ends. And then when you get out of the car, the police tackle you appropriately hard, right? Because you endangered lives. But this one guy got out and he ran in. He was in a dumpster and he was peeking in and out. He was peeking out of it like, does anybody know where I'm at? And Channel 6 News knew where you're at and everybody knew where you're at. And he was hiding. He somehow thought, I'm going to be the first person ever to get away with this. The rules do not apply to me. That's the heart of rebellion. I know the rules. I know it hasn't worked out for anybody else, but it's going to be different for me. There's some funny things in this story, and I won't keep it from being funny, but my heart goes out to teenagers, not just the ones in this room, but just a generation of teenagers. Those that are older would probably tell me every generation of teenagers scares you, and that's okay. It's my turn to be scared by this generation of teenagers, and it'll be their job in the next one. But just rebellion. And if you're in here, young or old, and you recognize tonight that you have the heart of a rebel, I'm going to pray that you will turn to a gracious God tonight and stop going down that path. You know, the penalty of sin is death. And so sin brings on death. And so the pursuit of sin is to pursue your own death in life. Obviously, death physically will come, but death in relationships. And the way of the rebel is hard. And there's no reason that you should live like that. And you may think it's small. You may think it's only towards teachers or towards parents. You think it's just not towards the God of heaven. And I want to show you tonight it is towards the God of heaven. And we need to get off of that path and look towards him. And so here's the positive news about what we'll see tonight. And you might say, well, that person's not in church, you know. The rebel, he's not in church, so why are you talking to us? You know, you all have a picture of a rebel. And I can tell you, the rebel can certainly be at church. Because I have been Zedekiah in my life as a teenager, in my 20s, in my 30s, and even now I have been the rebel. I've also tried to be Jeremiah at times. And parents, we have a good example of somebody there that says, I love you, but the message cannot change because the message is not mine. That's what Jeremiah says over and over again. Put me in a well, put me in jail. I can't change because I don't make truth. You know, I'm just reporting. I report, you decide, all right? That's what he is saying. And then there's another person that we've all been before. I certainly have been. It's this prophet Hananiah who tells what the people want to hear. Telling the young person or telling the person in counseling or telling whoever, I'm just going to tell them what they want to hear because if I don't, it's going to cost me safety. It's going to cost me relationship. It's going to be inconvenient for me. And so I'll just go ahead and tell you, I've been all three of these people at life. And so the rebel does come. And then they say, they show up sometimes just to see what's going on, or they're brought here, or you come here because you're going through the motions, but you may find yourself. Here's the good news, is that God extends his mercy to the rebel through his messengers. God extends his mercy to the rebel through his messengers. You can be one of those messengers that God would extend his mercy, his loving compassion, his love towards people. So Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, I'm going to read this, and it's a lot of stuff, and I pray that you'll follow along, especially the little ones in here. Try to read it to you in such a way, gives you a big picture of it. I'm going to give you the overview of it, and then we're going to look at the Bible verses that make up this story. Okay, Zedekiah, the final ruler of Judah, he was facing some challenges as a king. They all come to the destruction and end of Jerusalem and the temple. And so his story unfolds in the historical parts of it, as I said, in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles and the book of Jeremiah. And his original name was Mattaniah, and he was born of King Josiah and the brothers of Jehoshaphat and Jehoiakim. Despite not being the typical heir to the throne, a series of poor decisions by his people that were kings before him led him to an unexpected place. And so there's a brief reign before him that ended, and now he has a decision. Will he do what he has been given to do of God, or will he in pride try to continue in his own way? And so what we have here is at 21 years of age is when Zedekiah, he comes up and he continues in the misdeeds of those that were before him. And as Babylon lays siege to Jerusalem, Zedekiah, misguided in his belief that Egypt, another country, was going to support him. He believed that he was going to get help and that those friends of his were going to help him overcome the prophecy that Jeremiah was giving. He ends up finding himself without friends and defeated. And despite seeking spiritual guidance from Jeremiah, he crumbled and it all falls apart for him. You're going to find a guy who just wants to make everybody happy. He just can't say no. He goes and talks to Jeremiah. He recognizes that Jeremiah might have something to say. He just doesn't listen to him. So while historical accounts like 2 Kings provide a chronological story, it's Jeremiah's writing that we see the emotional and spiritual complexities of Zedekiah's reign. And it's through this interplay, the tragic tale of a king torn between political alliances and divine intervention is unveiled. In ancient times, a prophet named Jeremiah conveyed a divine message to the people of Judah, foretelling of a time of great turmoil and judgment. God's words through Jeremiah were clear and unyielding. Judah would face the consequences of their actions, suffering under the grip of a plague and Babylonian invasion. The only glimmer of hope lay in surrendering to the Babylonians, a message that clashed with the false promise of the other prophets. So Zedekiah, as the king, was told by Jeremiah what he was to do. But Zedekiah went to find other people that would tell him differently. And so we see the promise that is given by God in his word, and we're going to see it fulfilled. Like Ezekiel, he's told Zedekiah, you're not going to see Babylon, but you're going to die there. And that's kind of confusing. But when the story ends, you're going to realize even the parts of the Bible or promises that you don't understand will always come true exactly the way that God says that they will. So despite the warnings, King Zedekiah, he hesitated to accept the reality of the moment. And so the false prophets tried to get the king to have a more optimistic outlook, but Jeremiah stood firm delivering this unwavering decree. There's a symbolic confrontation unfolded as Jeremiah takes this yoke. We've seen that before. We've had them around here. They would go upon an oxen, right? They're like they're real big, about this far, and the head of one ox would go here, another head of an ox would go over here. And so Jeremiah, he takes this and he's showing like an object lesson to show Zedekiah what's going to happen. And then Hananiah, the false prophet, he goes and takes it and he breaks it and says, that's not going to happen. And then God says, well, that one's broken, but I will bring one that is metal or brazen to you. And as the people of Judah faced exile in Babylon, Jeremiah urged them not to be misled by promises of a swift return. Instead, he counseled them to adapt to their circumstances, to build homes, raise families, seek the well-being of the land which they find themselves. As God's plan for restoration rested on his timing alone, a lesson reiterated throughout Jeremiah's message. And even Jeremiah remained steadfast in what he was telling, and this, he warned King Zedekiah of his fate in Babylon, foretelling of his death. Despite a fleeing act of righteousness, and Zedekiah began to manage outcomes. He searched to do some things. He frees some slaves, knowing that that's what it was commanded to do in the Old Testament. He has moments of peace where he thinks, well, everything's going to be okay. I'm apparently getting by with this. And he kind of manages outcomes. He says prayers during that time that are just managing outcomes. And through trials and tribulations faced by Judah, Jeremiah stood as a beacon of truth, unwavering in his commitment to relay God's message to him. And the lesson from Jeremiah's prophecy echo throughout the ages and to us today, that there's consequences for disobedience and the importance of patience and waiting in God's timing and the enduring power of faith in the face of adversity. In ancient times, a powerful message was delivered to a king foretelling both freedom and devastation. The king, failing to heed the warnings, faced a series of tragic events that ultimately led to his downfall. Despite being given multiple chances to course correct, he had chances to get off that path and get on the right one. But he was stubborn and he was prideful. And just like the person in the story that I told you, he said, it's going to end differently from me. He had a long history of kings that he could have learned from, but he somehow said, it's going to be different for me. This king named Zedekiah was warned by Jeremiah of all these things that would happen. This once mighty city of Jerusalem, that the walls will be breached and it will fall in, and the place will be looted by the Babylonians. Zedekiah's life is a stark contrast to all that God would have had for them. Despite the grim outcome, it's a fulfillment of divine judgment pronounced upon those disobedient. It's a cautionary tale for all of us. And so his legacy stands as a reminder of the importance of humility, obedience, and the consequences of ignoring divine guidance in our life. And amidst all this, there will be a glimmer of hope. God will eventually bring about restoration 70 years later, a decree from Cyrus, the king of Persia, allowing the Jewish exiles to return to Jerusalem. But Zedekiah had a job to do, and he did not like the assignment. It created an identity crisis, it came to managing outcomes, and it brought him pain and suffering. And so the moral of the story, we would say, is that God extends his message of mercy to rebels through his messengers. And that's what we're going to look at tonight as we walk through this. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord, I pray for those, Lord, not just young people, but for those that are living a life of rebellion. Maybe it's openly and it's seen and known, and others might even be aware of it. And maybe they even take pride in it, Lord. I pray that the rebels that have come here today would repent and would bow their knee to you and surrender and find the joy that is there and giving you the honor that is due to you. Lord, I pray for people that are parents and mentors, and Lord, even teenagers who have to be a voice of truth to their friends and other people, that they will follow the example of Jeremiah, and that they will not change the word of God. They will not compromise it, but they will always speak it as it is your word and not ours. Pray that you give us understanding. Lord, through this story, I pray that all of us will help remember the truth here, that there is mercy available to us from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I've said several times that there's an identity crisis. Zedekiah was given a role to play in the story, and he didn't like it. Ezekiel 17, verses 13 through 14. I'll ask that to try to keep up with us. We have several verses there. But Zedekiah was given a role to play, and he had made a covenant with Nebuchadnezzar. They had made a covenant with Nebuchadnezzar, and in doing so, the land was to be given over to the Babylonians. This is Ezekiel 17, 13 through 14. He hath taken of the king's seed and made a covenant with him and hath taken an oath of him. He has also taken the mighty of the land. And we get down to Ezekiel chapter verse 15. It was rebellion, it says, towards the king. Verse 15, but he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt that they might give him horses and large army. And will he thrive? Can he escape these things? Can he break the covenant and escape is the question that's being asked. So Zedekiah rebels against what he was supposed to do, and he thinks that if he sends for help out of Egypt, maybe this would happen. This would help him. But God is teaching that he has a love for his sheep, and he is correcting his shepherds, and he's speaking in Ezekiel here about Israel, and they will feed themselves and the shepherds of it. That's what Zedekiah was to do. He was out to look after these people, but because of disobedience in his leadership, it spreads throughout. Jeremiah 37, it says, but neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. That rebellion from the leadership worked its way down, becoming a rebellious people. And that just makes me want to pause here for a moment. When you're a parent, you filter everything through being a parent, obviously. But if the person that wants to teach a correct understanding of authority has to be a person who has a proper understanding of authority in their own life. So here's Zedekiah with no respect to the authority of God's word in his life. And so he should expect that all those that he leads and influence would have the same. We cannot expect that those we influence are going to properly have it if we're not people that are first in submission to authority. And we must all, every parent in here, when we see our kids running into rebellion, the first thing we must ask is, Father, is my heart being shepherded? Am I submitting myself to you? Because only as I submit myself to you can I be the proper representation of your authority to them. And so his rebellion to God through Nebuchadnezzar. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 11 through 13. And Zedekiah was 21 when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. All right, how old is he, kids? 21 for 11 years. How old is that? All right, there we go. Good job. All right. You got it right, Bo. All right. Trying to keep the kids on board. All right. Thaddeus, help. Tell him this time, too. No, I want you on board, too, Bo. We want you all on board, all right? And so there he is, 11 years of it, and he does evil in the sight of the Lord. And it says here that he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. That's such a strong statement. Zedekiah would not humble himself before the word of the Lord. It says, he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he says, and he also rebelled against the king Nebuchadnezzar. He also rebelled. So we submit to God, we submit through authority, right? That our submission to God goes through the authorities that are in our lives. So here is Zedekiah. He is not submitting to God. He's supposed to do that by submitting through the authorities that are given in his life. And so his rebellion to those that are in authority in his life is a rebellion towards God. And that's where Jeremiah comes in, warning him over and over again that you are breaking a covenant that God gave. So in a story of rebellion, God and pride are always consistent. They're always the two elements of the story. In rebellion, there's always God and there's also pride, but the object of it may change. Sometimes your rebellion may be towards a person. Sometimes your rebellion might be towards the truth of God's word. But rebellion is always an affront. It's always a transgression of God's law. What is it that you are rebelling against? That'd be a good question today. Angry, upset, rebellious, but to whom are you being rebellious? And if you could move today to see that it's not against a series of ideas and concepts and truths that you're not comfortable with, or it's not against your parents, but your rebellion is ultimately against God, then it would bring you to a place where you could repent of that. And so sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's the truth of God's word. Apparently, it's hard to wear a crown and not be rebellious. Apparently, it's hard to wear a crown and not be rebellious. We see that in the stories of the kings, right? God said, I'll rule this nation. They say, give us a king. And he said, well, if I give you a king, they're going to take your wives, they're going to take your horses, they're going to do all this. They said, just give us kings. King after king, when they put on the crown, so many of them have been rebellious towards the God of heaven because we want our own autonomy, right? We want to do our own thing. I think it's funny when people tell the story. I was 18 years old. I didn't want anybody to tell me what to do. I wanted to be my own man, make my own decisions. So I signed up for the military, you know. And so they realized that's not how it's going, you know, going to work. They want to make their own decisions. That's what you want to do. You want to be autonomous. And you see it for young people, but it's true for the rest of us. We just want to make our own decisions. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. And so the king thinks that if he makes the laws, then he can break the law. If you make the laws, you can break the law. That's the joke people say, right? What's the golden rule? It's supposed to be doing the others, you have them doing to you, right? But the golden rule is he that makes the gold makes the rules. Have you ever heard that one? That's the world's version of the golden rule. He that makes the gold or has the gold makes the rules. And so when you become the king of your life, you say, if I make the rules, then I can break the rules. I have been, as a teenager, a person who piecemealed my authority structure. I borrowed from the Bible, and I borrowed from this, and I borrowed from that. And my submission wasn't just to God and His Word. It was just kind of to my own code that I'd created. And if you're in charge of making your own laws, then you get to break them when you want to. But if you're going to be like Jeremiah and says, I don't make these rules, I don't make these prophecies, I just submit to them, it's different. And so if you act as a king where you make your own rules, then you can break them. And so some of us have set our own laws. You may borrow heavily from the Bible, but you still have your own code of conduct. And there comes moments where you need to pull over, but instead of doing that, you just hit the gas. In the fear of seeing the lights in your rearview mirror, you're not pulling over, and you do not turn, you just keep driving. And God wants to extend His mercy to you tonight. At the end of James, which is many weeks away from now, a couple months from now, Lord willing, we're going to see in James 5:19, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. And so brethren, talking to Christian people, err from the truth to convert, let him know that which converteth the sinner, talking about the same person, typically in the Bible we're called saints, on a couple occasions called sinners, from the error of his ways shall save the soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That God uses us in the life of people that are rebelling and sinning to call them back to following after God. And then we'll see that in the book of James. And here it's Jeremiah. And God remains consistent and clear. Jeremiah not only portrays God's truth, but he also is showing God's heart. He is a compassionate person. It says in 2 Chronicles 36:15, it says, and sinning because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Jeremiah is also called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 13:17 says, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Jeremiah had a broken heart for this rebel, for Zedekiah. He didn't just feel slighted personally that he wasn't being listened to. His heart broke because he knew that if Zedekiah continued in his path, it was going to lead to destruction. Jeremiah sets an example to us. When we call upon people to turn back, we should do it with a tear in our eyes and with compassion. And then, as I said earlier, there comes a moment of relief for Zedekiah. And that's where in Jeremiah 37:9, God sends Jeremiah to warn him to not believe that things have changed just because his immediate consequences of sin have changed. It says in verse 9, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourself, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. Then at the end of it, it says, they should, that they rise up every man in his tent and burn the city with fire. But there's a moment of peace where Zedekiah just says, well, it's going to be okay. I really thought that I was going to deal with the consequences of sin, but there seems to be a reprieve here, and I'm just going to continue. That is such a dangerous place when you get to it, when you're rebelling, where you think, I've really learned to figure this out. I'm going to manage my addiction, or I'm going to manage my rebellion. I'm not immediately seeing the consequences of my sin, and so I'm just going to continue in doing this because I think it's going to be okay. And that's where you call upon people like he does, and he'll call upon Jeremiah, and that's where Jeremiah comes in with that visual that I mentioned about the yoke, and he shows him that this is how it's going to end. So Jeremiah tries to bring him to a decision. Let me just pause there just for a moment, though, about that managing outcomes. It's where you pray and say, God, if I don't get caught, if I don't get caught, I won't do that again, or I'm going to do this one more time. And you're just kind of negotiating with God. God, I'm just going to do this a little bit more. I'm not going to do it to the same extent, or I'm just going to try to turn over a leaf. I'm going to try to make some type of improvement in my life, but I'm not going to just give this up. I'm going to see if I can do a better job at managing the problems of my sin. And Zedekiah was being told by Jeremiah, absolute surrender. It doesn't matter that you let the slaves go. It doesn't matter that you've done a few good things. It doesn't matter that you're being nicer to me, to the messenger now. The only option here is absolute surrender that's given. And so Jeremiah gives that example that I told you about, and there's a battle of truth. And so you can choose your messengers, but you can't choose your truth. You know, people say, this is my own truth. You don't get your own truth, right? I don't get my own truth. You don't get your own truth. There's only the truth. And so you don't get to decide the truth, but you do get to decide what messengers you listen to. And you can try to ignore them. Jeremiah wears this yoke, and so Zedekiah likes Hananiah's story better. And God responds through his messengers and what he's doing here. And this rebel is going to gravitate towards the message that best helps their cause. I'm going to find somebody that agrees with me. And that's what Zedekiah has there, with different people telling him what he should do. Jeremiah 27:9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Everybody was telling Zedekiah, it's okay, you can continue to be like you are, pretending to be the king, but it was wrong. And so you can silence the messenger, but it's not God's, but not God's truth in this world. So Jeremiah will first be put into a prison. He had entered a dungeon, the cabins, and he remained there many days in Jeremiah 37. And then in Jeremiah 38, then he's put into a pit that he was said because he was discouraging the soldiers in the prison. And so they put him now in a pit. And he says, if I bring you out, are you going to tell me what I want to hear? And he says, no, the message is not going to change. Zedekiah listens to the truth, but because of fear of others, he will not obey God. Jeremiah 38:19. There comes a moment when the rebel realizes that he's not the person they were pretending to be, and they show that there's a scared person trying to maintain a facade. And Zedekiah, the king, said in Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. Zedekiah is so close to making the right choice, but because of fear of his friends, he continues down the path. Zedekiah tells Jeremiah, if he tells anyone about their conversation, he will have him killed. In verse 24, that same chapter. And so he asked the messenger for help, but he still doesn't do what he was told to do. Rebellion trades a life of peace for a life of trying to manage outcomes. All of his friends are going to leave him in the middle of the night, and his feet will be left in mire, as if he can't move from the consequences that are coming. And he doesn't want the people around him to know that he's doubting, but he does. That's Jeremiah 38. He requests prayer for a situation, but he doesn't repent. He tries to keep Jeremiah to change the story, but he won't. He tries to silence Jeremiah, and he won't. He finds other people to tell him what he wants to hear. But then the king of the city is going to be surrounded by the enemy with no resources, but at least he still gets to be the rebel king a little bit longer. And in 2 Kings 25, verse 2 and 3, and the city was besieged in the 11th year of the king Zedekiah, and on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there's no bread for the people of the land, and his friends are going to slip out. And that person that said, it can never happen to me, the prophecy is going to become true. The city was broken up, 2 Kings 25, 4 and 7, and all the men of war, this is the end of the story for Zedekiah, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way towards the plain. And the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered. And so they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, Riblah. They gave judgment upon him. They slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. That's how the promise was fulfilled, that he would go to Babylon, but he wouldn't see it. He would lose his sight before he was taken there, and he'll eventually die in a prison, and it'll just be a verse that's barely mentioning that, and that will be the end of his story. And Jeremiah 52 gives a summary of this. And so history is not the story of earthly kings, but it's of God communicating through his messengers. And by the way, here Hananiah dies 2 months after Jeremiah said he would die within a year. And so we see here that God was loving and showing mercy to Zedekiah, but he wanted to continue in where he was at. Zedekiah and all the wicked kings and shepherds are gone, but we now see that many of us have the same type of problem that they would have. God promised that David would never lack for a man upon his throne, and that God will send somebody to sit upon that throne. A shepherd that is greater than David will come in Jesus Christ. So the story ends with Zedekiah living out exactly the promise that was made. It's the same story repeated over and over again for the life of a rebel in the Bible and the time that we live in. But here's the good news. I want to end with the good news. Is that 500 years later, in the same portion of the world, comes another messenger sent from God, and his name is John. And he will prepare the way for a king. And when Jesus is born, he will be announced by shepherds. And our good shepherd, our king, will arrive, and he loves the rebellious people that we all were. And so here's the word to the rebel. To the openly rebellious teenager, God is extending his mercy to you today. He is. You're here today. You're hearing a message, not from me, but from God's word. Because the quickest route to understanding the word of God is believe that God is speaking on every line, that God preserved this story for you to understand so you can take your life and say, if I continue down this path, it's going to lead to destruction. Sure, the details are different, but God is consistent, your pride is going to be the same, and the end result is going to be the same. And so there's a messenger of God's word calling for you today to turn from your rebellion. It's not small, it isn't towards your parents, it isn't towards teachers, and if it's in your life, it isn't towards your employer, it isn't towards other people and adults in here, it's towards the God of heaven. To the Father who's become good at managing outcomes but living rebellion, God's extending mercy to us today. To the atheist in this community or to the unbeliever that believes that God is they don't need God, here's a messenger of our church. Every one of us should be as Jeremiah out in our community sharing the truth. And God is extending mercy to rebels through his messengers if we will only listen and repent. I'm going to take a moment and pray here. But I want to give you a moment to reflect. Years ago, when I would have shared this with teenagers, I would have said, let's not close our eyes. Let's keep our eyes open, because if you've been living in rebellion, you know that, and probably many other people do today. And so repenting ought to be a public display. Some of you may go to your parents tonight, or maybe it's an adult, and you just need to come honest with them and say, I'm living in rebellion, and you ought to be a wake-up call today. It's not going to end differently for you. I promise you, I have no individual person in mind. If I did, I'd be talking to you privately about it. But this is God's word. And in God's word, it gives us a picture of it. And then I encourage you, parents in here, let's not just complain about a generation that are running in the rebellion if we're not going to be Jeremiah and say we're going to stand for truth and we're not going to change. The message can't change. We love them too much to allow it to change regardless of the consequences in our own life. We're not going to be able to change. When we share the gospel with our coworkers, we're not going to compromise and say that all roads lead to heaven. We're going to just preach it just like it is, because that's what God has called us to do, because only God extends his mercy through faithful messengers, right? And if we're not going to be faithful to his message, then we're not extending the mercy that is there.